Good morning. It's good to be here and good to be sharing with you this morning. My name is Duncan Smith, and I know many of you know me, but I'm often not around. I'm sometimes gone because of my oversight with the healthcare plan for Mennonite Church USA. But since last July, I have, and I'm still doing some work at First Mennonite, so I was doing some transitional work there. And I think that's part of the reason that Jeff thought I'd be a good person to share this morning. Actually, I've done four interim or transitional pastorates. I did two in Oregon, the one here in Colorado at First, and also in Washington State. And they're quite different, and I'm going to share a little bit about that this morning. But what I do find is there's a lot of similarities. And thanks to Nina and Peggy and Jeff for the songs this morning. It's one of those mornings where I'm not sure I needed to get up and say anything, because those stories and the way you presented that really speaks to a lot to what we experience in transition. But I am going to stay up here and speak for a little while. We adjust to many things every day. So when we talk about transition, we're really talking about change, right? We're talking about how we adjust to change. And really, how we adjust to change, how we make those changes affects where the outcome is, whether we are transformed by it, whether we are overwhelmed by it, or just what happens in that period. And I want to talk a little bit about not exactly a transition, but a period, something where a group of people was experiencing something significantly different. You may know the movie Hoosiers. How many people know that? It's an older movie about a high school team that was from a school of about 62 in Indiana. The high school championship is what they were aiming for. And they end up going to the championship series. So they're a team of 62. And at that point in the Indiana system, all the schools were in the same pool. So it was a team of 62, it was a team of from a school of 3,000. And so this team from this small school ends up going to Indianapolis, and they walk into this arena. And imagine this arena that is bigger than anything they've seen, and they're going to have more people there than any they've ever seen before at a game. And they walk in, and in the movie, they're kind of awestruck. And the coach gets a measuring tape, and he has one of the guys, one of the players, sit on the shoulders of another, takes the measuring tape, and goes over to the basketball hoop, and he measures the hoop, says, "How high is that?" "It's 10 feet. And the coach said, "You'll find that this court and everything here is exactly the same as the arena or the court at home at our school." So while there's all this difference, there is something here that is the same. And that's part of what we need to remember, is to remain grounded. So Glennon Heights is in a different type of transition. But if you, and if Dennis were here, I'd ask him to come, or Dennis, come forward. You don't have to come forward, but I'd ask him to measure. If you measured the building, if you looked around and looked at the walls, even if you look at the people that are around you, basically they're all the same. So what's different this morning? Betsy's not here, and she's not on vacation. She's not coming back. So that's a significant and a big change as your longtime pastor to be going away. Her office is not completely cleaned out, but it will be at some point. You're in transition. And I have found that transitions are always interesting. They're not always pleasant. They're sometimes hard, but they're always interesting. And they're not really the end. T.S. Eliot sums it up nicely in one of his pithy phrases. He says, "What is often the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from." So it's one of those sort of circular things, and it's true, right? That our life is basically, in that way, very circular. And we go through changes, but they're just changes to something new, a beginning and an end, or an end and a beginning. So there are always great opportunities. And this is one of the themes that I've seen in interims. There are opportunities to learn, but it's also unsettling. And we can be, or a congregation can be, knocked off its center. Getting knocked off of your center is not always bad, though, because it helps a group of people to reflect on where they've been and where they're going. But it's difficult. For instance, have you ever been in a transition, say a period between jobs, and in that time there's kind of an opportunity to for some freedom or some fun, but you don't necessarily know what that next thing is going to be, and so that impinges on that freedom or that fun because you have anxiety and you're concerned about where you're going. That's one of the challenges of a transitional time. It's the uncertainty about what's next. So this is true personally and with congregations. And that's why I chose the passage from Exodus and wanted to talk about the transition in the wilderness, because that's what it was. It was one long transition. And we'll talk about that just a little bit. They had interim pastors or transitional pastors, Aaron and Moses. When I told Nathan that I was going to preach on this text, he said, I'm glad that my interim isn't for 40 years. And by the way, he's not preaching this morning because he was just on vacation. So otherwise, he would be up here this morning. So while the time in the wilderness was long and dramatic, overall, it was just very human, and there's some patterns that we can look at that have already been alluded to this morning. Three major pitfalls. Loss of perspective. In Exodus 16, I encourage you to read both Exodus 16 and Exodus 32. In Exodus 16, they have just been, not long before the people of Israel, that is, delivered out of Egypt. They've had this amazing experience that's hard for us to fathom. They've been removed. Okay, now remember this. They've been removed out of slavery. But what happens? This is what? Very shortly afterward, they become inward-looking. They grumble. They lack gratitude for the circumstances they've just come from, which have just happened. And they see the circumstances that they're in as worse than what they have been in before. What do they do? Well, part of what they do is they take it out of Aaron and Moses. Sorry. We'll try not to do that with you. But they take it out on Aaron and Moses. And Aaron and Moses are saying, basically, you know, give us a break. We're doing the best we can here. Why are you so ungrateful? You know, work with us. Grumbling, and this type of grumbling, this is not reflection. Grumbling leads inward. And it's not inward in a caring sort of way, but the way that creates division and not vision. It's easy for congregations during transition to lose perspective, to look inward and focus instead on the issues or the foibles, those things within the congregation or with the people in the congregation that don't feel the best. And that's with the lay leaders or others, the interim pastors that may be leading you. So one is the loss of perspective. Second is that congregations can become anxious. Even though God was leaving the manna and the quails for the people to eat, they weren't quite sure this was really going to be true. So if you take that story that the quails were coming in the evening, the manna in the morning, but what did they start doing? They started hoarding. They started keeping so that they were sure to have what they weren't quite convinced was going to be there when it was promised. It took time to settle on that pattern, the pattern of the food being delivered, and they finally did, it would appear. But the congregation or the group of people was functioning out of scarcity and out of fear. They weren't functioning instead out of abundance. And when we function out of scarcity or out of fear, and sometimes we have a right to be concerned. I'm not saying that we don't, but when we function out of scarcity and out of fear, then we become inward and we often become critical of the people that are next to us. Now, if you were eating manna and quail every day for 40 years, you might want to complain a little bit, but I think that's different than grumbling and taking it out on each other. For congregations during transitions, there can be a lot of uncertainty, even for a transition such as happening here at Glennon Heights. In the midst of change, it's easy to go to that place of fear. Will there really be a new pastor? Will that new pastor really fit? Will it really work out? How can we really get by without Betsy, who we're used to? Those are all things that we may be saying to ourselves or have an unconscious sort of word that's being spoken. But let's move into a place of abundance. Look around and see the people who care for you and the people that you care for. They will still be here each Sunday. And it's an opportunity for the congregation, for us as Glennon Heights, to look at ourselves in kind of a new way. So the loss of perspective, becoming anxious, and then finally, and this has been alluded to, is the loss of patience. So in combination with losing perspective and becoming anxious, what happens when you lose patience as well? Don't make very good decisions. So if you go to Exodus 32, Moses is away. Let's say it's like Betsy being away on a retreat. Moses is at the top of the mountain conversing with God. And what happens with the people? They become anxious, they lose perspective, they lose patience, and they build a golden calf. Now imagine, what did that golden calf represent? What was the good in that for the people? It's a shadow of the values and the faith that they had. And instead it becomes something that they feel that they need, that they're trying to replace on that very shallow basis. Now they've been a long time in the wilderness at this point, so it might be hard to argue with losing patience a bit, but making an image of God in the place of God by a golden calf says to me that they're human, I would say, first of all. But it also says to me that they, you know, what had they learned during that? And I think that's part of what we need to take from this story. It's easy for congregations, especially in longer transition, to lose patience, to react sometimes. And sometimes I've seen it, and I'm not saying that's true here. I'm just giving an example. Congregations that hire a pastor more because they are anxious about having a person or a warm body, rather than hiring the person that is really best for them. And I've seen that happen, and usually that's bad. And that, to me, is like making a fatted calf or a golden calf. It's not remaining patient and not remaining focused and grounded in what God is calling. So there's three major opportunities, so in the midst of that. With the loss of perspective, one can stay grounded. Remember why you are here. You are here each Sunday and together with each other at other times as a people of God, celebrating God's love and grace. You care for each other, so continue to do so. And if it seems like the congregation or you're turning inward at some point in a negative sort of way, remember, this too shall pass. It will not last for 40 years. And be grateful. Be grateful for what you have here at Glennon Heights. Many of you have gone through pastoral transitions. You've gone through it yourself, or you've gone through it here at Glennon Heights, or you've gone through it with other congregations. Remember that and give a word to others as you remember the wisdom that you've experienced in that. And if you can see this interim time as a time of adventure and opportunity, and one to be shared with Nathan. Instead of becoming anxious, remember abundance. Instead of living into scarcity, remember abundance. There's uncertainty when the pastor leaves, especially one that's deeply appreciated. But when a pastor leaves, it does not mean there is less. In other words, rather than looking at the transition from that point of Betsy not being here, look at it from a point of what can you do during this time and who will be coming next. Look at the gifts that we have here at Glennon Heights as a congregation. Instead of losing patience, turn that to something different and reflect. This period is an opportunity, and I know it's an interim period. I know that you're not looking at it as a transitional period where there's going to be a lot of intentional work done, but it's still an opportunity for Glennon Heights to take time, whatever the interim period, to reflect on the life of the congregation. How does the life of the congregation reflect the gospel of love, grace, and justice both within as you care for each other and reaching out. There's no need to be impatient. God is present. I used to say to congregations, no matter what size, and sometimes I was working with house church type congregations, I'd say that no matter how many people are here, you have everybody and everything that you need. So look within. As I said, I've served four congregations. I'm going to briefly reflect on just one of those, and then I want to reflect a little bit here on Glennon Heights on some things that you've already shared. One of those congregations was Menno Mennonite, which sits in eastern Washington. Barry Bartell has some roots there. The closest yard to the congregation is a mile away. Charlene and I had just moved back to Spokane to take care of my mom, and the congregation's 90 miles away. We moved from the Bronx. So I moved from the Bronx to Spokane, first of all, and then to be pastoring this rural congregation. But it was a blessing. It was a real win-win for both the congregation and for myself during that period. The congregation, as I said, sits in the middle of the wheat field. At that point, it was in transition that a lot of the younger people from the families were off going to college. And at that point, there was a lot of concern about who they were, because they didn't know how the congregation was going to grow. It was 20 miles from two cities, one way to the east, one way to the west. So they really had some questions about who they are. Now, so a lot of those young people have come back to farm, and that congregation is actually doing quite well. So one of the things that I did was work with the congregation on remaining grounded with who they were. The roots of the congregation, not literally, but from the people moving into that area, go back to the 1880s, I believe. So it's a long-term congregation that has done many good things in the community over the year. So I was helping that congregation to stay grounded and basically just reminding them of who they were. As far as becoming anxious, they were asking the question, who's going to come and pastor us here in rural Washington? Who's going to move their family here? There's a house that's on the yard, a beautiful house. It's a beautiful setting. But imagine moving a family, like a young family with kids, and you're 20 miles from town. You're 20 miles from school. You're a mile from the closest yard. Who is going to come and to this congregation? Well, they have been able to attract twice now new pastors that have come and pastored them. That's abundance and not scarcity. They were, it's a very, the group, I would say, in some ways doesn't have a lot of patience. And I say this lovingly. The congregation is very much a doing congregation, so that's why I say that. And so they wanted to move quickly, and they kept asking me to stay as their interim. I actually stayed there for 2 years as their interim pastor. And one of the things they did is say, well, you can stay, because it did take some time to find a pastor. But one of the things I did was during Lent, we had 40 people from the congregation who were connected broadly in different parts of the country write reflections, devotionals, each day of Lent. And what that did was move the impatience to reflection. It moved it in such a way that they recognized the spiritual gifts and the faith journeys that they had right there within that congregation and in other parts of the country who had been connected with Menno Mennonite. So I think there are a lot of ways to work with how to move a congregation or how to be with a congregation in times of transition, and every transition is different. Now, you here at Glennon Heights have an interesting situation. Nathan is coming on as your interim pastor, but you also have a candidate that's coming next week. But I don't think that should change how you view or work with Nathan or this interim period. And a few weeks ago, a month ago, I wasn't present. You had a Sunday school class, and you asked some questions about this interim period. One was, what do we want from this period? And Jeff sent me the list that you generated from that, and I just want to go over these because basically you have worked with the questions that are already there. So I think you're already on the road. One of the things that you said, I'm just going to read these. I'm going to make some comments. If I don't understand your comments exactly, because I wasn't there, then you can tell me afterward if I'm speaking out of school. But I think that these can go in different directions. One is to reset expectations. Well, you can reset your expectation because you know you're going to have a new pastor. You're going to have Nathan as your pastor, and then you're going to have a new pastor after that who will be permanent as well. So reset expectations, that could be with your new pastors, but it also can be with where you're going as a congregation. Open minds to new growth. Keep looking forward, outward, not inward. Say goodbyes. Even though Betsy's gone, you may internally need to still say goodbye to her and to let go. Hear each other, whatever stage you're in, and respect this. We'll all be in different places with what this transition means, and we need to listen to each other. Support each other. Don't grumble, basically. We need to work to keep what we love. I think it's true that we always need to keep, and I don't know what this means exactly, but we need to keep tradition, but also look for something that is new. Prepare for what could be next. That is, look ahead. Again, look outward, not inward. Offer grace to the interim pastor and new pastor. I'll come back to that one. Pray for openness. Listen. We need to be able to listen to each other, but also to where the Spirit is leading. If disagree, but don't criticize. Again, disagree. That's fine. Even maybe argue, but don't make it something that becomes a fight that makes division and not vision. Hone our supporting skills. Love each other and look around and know those that love you and that you love. Open us to something new. Look outward, beyond. And then the final one in this list is recognize we'll be a little shaken up. And it's okay. I just came from serving at First Mennonite, and I was going to say, maybe some of you want me to tell First Mennonite stories, but I'm not going to. But I will say that I said there, as I've said anywhere, that it's going to be okay. I mean, things change, but that doesn't mean that they're changed in a negative sort of way. Things will be shaken up, and they'll be shaken up for each of us in a different type of way. Finally, what can you do for Nathan? There were three things listed, and I want to add one. Commit to pray for Nathan. I think that's an obvious one. Remember him. Figure out limitations of Nathan being half-time. I think that's good. Talk about that. I don't think you can talk about that enough or understand it, and I guess I encourage the leadership to be communicating that to the congregation, and Nathan, whatever schedule you have, to be communicating that to people. That's very important. Be clear in delegating responsibilities. I think that goes both ways, for Nathan to delegate and for the congregation to talk to Nathan about what he's doing and what he can do. In other words, walk with Nathan. Minister with him. And the one that I added is empower Nathan as your pastor. You're not calling Betsy's son-in-law. You're not calling a song leader or a worship leader here. He's done that, and he may continue to do that. You're calling Nathan as your pastor. Empower him and support him. Don't leave him alone. Don't assume because you know him that, you know, you just can assume how he's going to support you as a pastor. Treat him as a pastor. You can do all these things for your permanent pastor when he or she comes, too. And there are things that you've done for Betsy as well. All right. That's a long list. I think we're going to continue this discussion a little bit in Sunday school. Mainly, I want to say that I think the congregation's in a very good place. I think that you're healthy in what you're looking for and in your call. And I encourage you to stay grounded, remember abundance, and to reflect. And that maybe you don't have to eat quail and manna, but in some way, God is present with each of you and with this congregation. Amen.
Thank you, Duncan. Please stand as you are able and turn with me to number 570 in your hymnal, 570, We Walk by Faith. And we'll sing this through all five verses, so the fifth verse repeats the first verse.